You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan.
This week, Cameron and Francis give us an update on the situation in Ukraine, focusing on the war crimes in Bucha. They also talk about the Hungary and Serbia election results, the upcoming presidential election in France, and finish off by speaking about the new Tesla factory in Berlin.
So let's begin with a general update, as per each week, on what's happening in Ukraine, sort of over the last week and the past 48 hours.
So another 100,000 refugees have fled Ukraine, bringing the total now up to over 4.2 million people, with almost 2.5 million people in Poland. The British refugee scheme, which we've spoken about before on the show, the Homes for Ukraine plan has only taken around 2,000 people. That's having volunteers open their homes to refugees. And another 22,000 applications have been accepted for the family reunification process. There's been continued criticism of it for being slow and bureaucratic. The International Red Cross have had an aid convoy trying to reach Mariupol since Friday, where 130,000 people are still estimated to be trapped. Yesterday, they were previously held under arrest by Russian forces before being let go. They still have had no access to Mariupol, although 3,000 civilians were able to escape over the weekend. Civilians there have been living for weeks with no water, food, and power. Fighting continues in the city, with Russian forces making slow gains as Ukrainian forces are besieged. There was a suspected Ukrainian helicopter attack on a Russian fuel depot in the Russian city of Belgorod on April 1st, not far from the Ukrainian border near Kharkiv, although Ukraine denies this. In turn, Russia responded with a missile attack on a fuel depot in the Ukrainian port city of Odessa. Ukrainian forces have also regained control of the Chernobyl power plant. Ukraine has also retaken territory around Kiev and Chernihiv. Russia has withdrawn and is expected to focus instead on the eastern Donbass region. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg today stated that they expect a significant offensive there in the coming weeks as Russian forces regroup. And foreign ministers on Wednesday and Thursday are set to discuss further on sending more anti-tank weapons, ammunition and medical supplies to Ukraine.
Before we move away from Ukraine and talk about the results of the elections we spoke about last week, can we discuss the war crimes that are happening in Bucha?
So there's been horrific stories and images coming out. Bucha is a town in northwestern Kiev. It was completely taken on 12th March by Russian forces after weeks of heavy fighting, and it was liberated by Ukrainian forces over the weekend. There's estimated to be over 400 civilians reported to have been killed by Russian forces. There's been reports of civilian men being tortured and executed with hands behind their back, families being killed in their cars as they flee, and sexual violence and bodies being burnt to destroy evidence. Zelensky visited the town yesterday and described it as a genocide. Russia denies these claims, stating that it was fake or perpetrated by Ukrainian forces after Russia left. However, satellite footage of bodies in the streets during their occupation contradicts this. In response, more EU sanctions are expected to be announced, and other European countries like France and Germany have expelled Russian diplomats. Today, Zelensky addressed the UN Security Council, saying that this is only one example of Russian war crimes. Human Rights Watch have reported other crimes have occurred around Kiev, Chernihiv, and Kharkiv in Russian-controlled areas. In the southern city of Mykolaiv, disappearances by Russian troops have been reported by civilians. And Ukrainian civilians have also been reported to be deported to Russia and going through filtration camps in Mariupol in eastern Ukraine. As time goes on, we'll probably see more data and more evidence to be uncovered, unfortunately, of these crimes and of when Russian forces leave. It's probably unlikely that Putin or Russian forces will face any kind of justice unless Putin's toppled.
Last week, we talked about some elections happening in Hungary and Serbia. Can you tell us about the results of those?
Yeah, as expected, Viktor Orban has won with his party Videsz in Hungary with 55% and the opposition coalition getting around 34%. The OCSE, who observed the election, said it was well run, but criticised the lacking media landscape for opposition candidates. Whilst Hungary initially signed up to EU sanctions, it still has warm relations with Russia. And Orban called Zelensky an opponent in his winning speech, and Putin congratulated him on his win. Orban will continue to be a thorn in the EU's side with his policies of an illiberal democracy. And today, the European Commission announced that they're launching rule of law disciplinary procedures against Hungary for violations. In Serbia, like we spoke last week, Vucic's SNS party won with a landslide of almost 60%. they continue to straddle relations between the West and Russia. They've got very friendly relations with Russia, but are also a candidate for the EU.
And there's also presidential elections starting in France this week, is that right?
Yeah, so the first round of presidential elections are this Sunday. There's 12 candidates competing, and if none of them achieve an outright majority, it will go to a second round between the top two candidates on 24th of April. The incumbent, Emmanuel Macron, is expected to win, although the race is tightening with far-right candidate Marine Le Pen. Macron came in power in 2017 with his centrist party En Marche. There were significant protests in 2018 with the Yellow Vest protests against fuel and tax increases. So since then, he's been seen as quite unpopular and has been seen as elitist, although the war with Ukraine has bolstered his position. He had negotiation attempts with Putin and has given Ukraine strong support. He's also previously called for a European army. So Politico say that he's polling at around 27%. The main opposition candidate, which is far-right Marine Le Pen of her National Rally Party, she's polling at around 21%. She has had a strong relationship with Russia, and it hasn't hurt her as expected. She endorsed the 2014 annexation of Crimea and has always had positive comments around Putin, although she's slightly changed tack since the war and has tried to focus on domestic policies, and she's been okay with Ukrainian refugees. She's been seen as a softer candidate after another far-right candidate, Zemmour, is polling at around 10%. He's previously been convicted for inciting racial hatred and is very anti-refugee. So it's kind of worrying that far-right candidates collectively are polling around one-third of the votes. On the left, left-wing candidate Mélenchon is polling at around 16%. He is an anti-NATO candidate. And then you've also got the centre-right Republicans at 10% and the Greens at 5%. So it's likely that just like in 2017, it'll be a two-person runoff between Macron and Le Pen. Although there's been some anger on the left that if that happens again, people are going to have to vote for Macron just so that Le Pen doesn't win.
And how long do those elections run for?
Oh, yeah. So they'll run on Sunday, and then the second round will happen again on the 24th of April.
Finally, let's talk about cars, which I can hear zipping past me. I hear a new Tesla factory has opened in your city of Berlin. When did that happen, and what does that mean for Germany?
Yeah, so Tesla's first European factory has opened in Berlin 2 weeks ago. This is their first manufacturing plant in Europe. It's expected that they'll make over 500,000 cars and batteries a year, although they're only expected to do around 30,000 for the second half of this year. This is very welcome as Europe wrestles with getting off dependence of Russian oil. It's expected to employ around 12,000 people, which for the surrounding state of Brandenburg is very good news. This will be seen as competition against traditional German car manufacturers like Volkswagen, BMW and Mercedes. There have been ongoing environmental concerns with critics saying that the construction was rushed. It only took 2 years to build, and in Germany that's pretty fast because it's a very, very bureaucratic heavy society. But it wasn't all smooth sailing for Elon Musk. On Friday night, he went out to celebrate and he got into a couple clubs, but he was denied entry to Berghain, which maybe some BFM listeners have been to. And he made like a really salty tweet about it, which I thought was hilarious.
What did the tweet say?
It was like, it has peace on the wall, but they like won't let me in.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.